Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. We're pleased to have you tune in for the program.
If I said to you, go out this week and do some personal evangelism, most of you'd go, no way, I ain't doing no personal nothing.
When you move in church circles, the process of evangelism can seem a scary one, but does it need to be? Sharing the life-changing love of God with people who don't know Him yet? Where do we start? Tonight, continuing in the series, The Mission of the Church, is engaging the world. Let's join Dr. Corbett now.
Now, tonight we're going to continue looking at the church, and I think this is really important. And we're looking particularly at the mission of the church. Here's where we've got our growing definition of church up to. So last time we saw this, the church is the ordered congregation of redeemed people, each gifted by God with certain abilities, vitally connected to Christ and each other by the Holy Spirit. So far we've seen that the church exists for the primary purpose of worship. But when we worship, we are surrendering to God. And your first act of worship is when you say, Jesus, I give you my life, come and be my Lord. That's your first act of worship. Anything you do before that point is just being noisy. So your first act of worship is to surrender to God and receive Him as your Lord. So the church exists for worship. The church then exists as a community. What we're doing tonight is really important. You know, we're gathering around tables, we're enjoying each other's company. Occasionally we will have meals together. This is actually really, really important. And when we finish our meeting tonight, the meeting's not over. What we're doing, the interaction, is really important. So we've got enthroning God in worship, encouraging one another in God so that we are fellowshipping. We're all given gifts and talents, and those gifts and talents are activated and utilized when we're empowered through the teaching of the word. And so empowering, being released to have a go, and in this church, I want to do that better. I want to help make sure that happens better. And that means that we will give people license to make mistakes and to have a go. And we need to have that kind of community where we can empower people to have a go. I remember the first sermon I gave, it was pretty bad. It was, sorry, that's an abuse of the word pretty. It was horrible. And I thank God that I had a pastor who immediately, within a matter of weeks, gave me another go, knowing that he'd give me a go and I was hopeless, terrible. He said, I want you to have another go. He wanted to see if I could self-correct, if I could learn from it. And I did, a little bit. And then he helped me as well. So that's the third purpose. The fourth purpose is what we're going to look at tonight. And that's this, engage. We want to engage people. What that means is we want to share what we believe so that they can be persuaded to believe it too. That's engaging the world. So here's our definition of the church now. We're going to incorporate this into it. The church is the ordered congregation of redeemed people, each gifted by God with certain abilities, vitally connected to Christ and each other by the Holy Spirit as a prophetic witness to the world. You know, when you testify about what Christ has done in your life, according to Revelation 19:10, it says this, testifying about Jesus is prophecy. Revelation 19:10. That's the essence of New Testament prophecy, pointing people to Jesus. That's what it's about. So when we use this word prophetic, I don't necessarily mean, thus says the Lord, or predicting the future. I mean, we're speaking out what is God's word today, which is Jesus Christ is Lord. He is your Saviour. You stand in need of a Saviour, and He's Him. You need Him. Being saved meant being forgiven of your sins and made right before God. Forgiven. Able to stand before God. Sins forgiven. Cleansed. Washed. Adopted as a child of God. And I think Jesus is very gentle here in really saying to these people, you've got it wrong. This is not what salvation is about. It's not for your understanding to know about the times of the season. So this is what he says in verse 8. But, in other words, you're looking the wrong way. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my, here's this word again, and it's the word Jesus used, and it's a very beautiful word. You will be my, what's the word? Witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is something that the book of Acts will essentially unpack now. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. You'll see this actually as the section headers throughout the book of Acts. Notice what Jesus is saying. You're going to be my witnesses. Why? Because it's when people receive what you are testifying about that they receive salvation. So this is something that gripped the heart of the early church. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:1, this is my heart's desire, that they may be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for them, that is the Jews, is that they may be saved. Now, Paul goes on in that chapter and says, I wish I could be accursed. That is, I would go to hell for eternity if it meant some of them could be saved. I find that personally deeply challenging. Because I don't know if I could say that about anybody. So you get a sense of the depth of passion and feeling that the early church had about their mission. They deeply, deeply cared about people. And they deeply cared that people received Christ. So here's what clearly Paul believed, and the early church believed as well. Because every one of the 12 disciples, take Judas out of the picture, and we're left with the 11, every one of the 11 gave of themselves so that others might come to believe Jesus was the Saviour. And they suffered horrible deaths. So here the Apostle Paul is going to make this point, and I'm going to show you in a moment. It's only through the proclamation of the gospel that anyone can be saved. That means either it's preached, it's read, it's proclaimed through the media that we have today, radio, television, internet. It's only when the gospel is proclaimed that people can be saved. You'll notice in the book of Acts that a number of times angels turn up to people. And my question is, why did the angel just preach? I mean, if I heard from an angel, I'm going to believe it, I reckon. And yet the angel says, send for Peter. Call for Peter to come and preach the gospel to you. You ever wondered why the angel just didn't preach the gospel? But there is two things happening here. It's the mission of the church. Christ has ordained that you and I, not angels, angels don't understand salvation. How do we know that? It says it in 1 Peter 1. It's a mystery to them. They don't get it. And one of the reasons is angels are a company. We are a race. When God created angels, he kind of did, pew, and there was gazillions of angels. When he created man, he created one man, one woman, and we all come from, that's a race. Completely different. Angels can't understand the gospel. How can you explain something you don't understand? That's why angels don't preach the gospel. In the Islamic world today, there are thousands of Muslims coming to Christ because they're receiving angelic visitations with angels. We heard one recently where they received a vision. The whole village received a vision of Jesus standing and saying, I'm going to send someone to you with a book. And long story short is these people had been walking from their village to where God told them to go. And there's this guy. They saw the car that they saw in the vision. There was this guy. They knocked on the window, said, give us the books. He had his whole station wagon full of boxes of Bibles in the Afghani language. And he thought he'd failed because his car broke down. They took all the books, went on their way. He's thinking, now I'm going to get killed. Turned the ignition, the car started, and he drove home. But why didn't they just... You see what I'm... God has ordained for you and I to share the gospel. We're the only ones who are qualified. Now, here's how Paul said it this way, and get the point here. In 1 Thessalonians 2:16, and he's ticked that there were some Jews who had hindered him and his colleagues from preaching, and he said this, by hindering us from speaking to Gentiles. Well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is so that they might be saved. You see, if we don't speak, they can't be saved. If they don't hear it from somebody who is saved, they can't be saved. So as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. So the church, you and I, are called to go. We're called to go. We are called to go where we are not invited. We're called to go into situations where we're not wanted. We're called to go into situations where people, as Tony discovered, don't want to be told what to do, thank you very much. And whenever I hear that, I just hear, I used to be like that. I mean, am like that. Because that's what sin does. It perverts our wills. Who wants anyone telling them what to do? None of us. And that's what salvation is about. The church is called to go, but the church also does something else. And I've heard people say the church should get out there and we should get out there and not expect people to come to us. Yeah. That's kind of half true, isn't it? Because the other side of it is, what are you going to say? No. You're not a Christian? You can't come into our church. No way. No, we go to you. You don't dare come to us. Stay out. Out. Nope, out. What the heck? The church also summons the world to come. Go and compel them to come in, Jesus said. So let's get a little bit of balance here. Because you'll hear somebody say, we should be going out there and reaching. Yeah, but we should also be putting on something fairly attractive. I mean, bees come to honey. Honey, let's be sweet. Let's be attractive. Let's have the kind of atmosphere where somebody could come to church. So the church calls the world to come. This is how we do evangelism, which is what engaging is all about. This is our strategy. And I hope you get this, and I hope that you understand this, so that if someone from outside our church says to you, hey, at Lagana, how do you do evangelism? And you can say, well, I'm glad you asked. This is how we do it. And I want to give you four things, and they each are in order. Number one, friendship. Who has friends who are not Christians? Kim, have a look at all the hands. Now, I asked that question 16 years ago, and not one person could put their hand up. Tonight, pretty much everyone put their hand up. I'm thrilled. Because if you don't go where there's fish, no matter how well baited your line is, you ain't going to catch anything. So you can put your line in a bucket of water and keep it there all you like, but unless you push out into the water, lake, river, whatever, ocean, sea, you're not likely to catch fish. In other words, and I'm going to bring this word witness in. See, I believe the scripture teaches, and Jesus, we read it here, calls us to be witnesses, not prosecution. We don't have to prosecute the gospel. So you're a sinner, hey? Well, let me prosecute you. You don't have to do that at all. We have to be witnesses, which means I live the kind of life that gets watched, and eventually someone says, hey, hey, I noticed you don't act like everyone else. You don't swear, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do drugs, you don't laugh at the crude jokes. Are you normal? What's the deal? And this is where I call that living a questionable life. Live the kind of life that's questionable. Now, I actually think, based on 1 Peter 3:15, that's the kind of life we should be living. Not a prosecuting life. I'm here to tell you what a rotten sinner you are. And by the time I'm done, you will feel it. That's not our call. Our call is just to live. I'm going to introduce a word to you. Normal. Be normal. Is it possible for a Christian to be normal? Yeah, it is. You don't have to be a space cadet. You don't have to be feeling angel flutters on the back of your neck. And you don't have to be weird to be a Christian. You can just be normal. I hope that's a release for some people. The second thing we do in establishing friendships, just establish friendships. You don't even have to try to witness to them because you are a witness. You can't help it. You just live for Jesus, you'll be a witness. That's all you have to do. Just let more people see your life. Second thing we do is pray. I would say there's not a person in this room that overestimates the power of prayer. And I would say pretty much every one of us underestimates it, including me most of all. We underestimate what happens when we pray. How many of us have 20-year vision? Not many. If you've had a few years under your belt, you've probably got an inkling that there are things that you did 20 years ago that are now you're reaping today. How many of us have the idea that what we pray for today may not be answered next week? It could be, but it may not be. But it may be answered in 20 years' time. It's hard for young people here tonight under the age of 20 to even grasp that. But it really is something that has been observed over and over and over. Prayer. Pray for people. Just a simple prayer. Oh God, save such and such. Please save him. Paul says, Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and my prayer is that they may be saved. It's a very simple prayer. Pray for them to be saved. So first strategy, build friendships. Just be a friend to people. They invite you out for coffee, go to a coffee. They invite you out to the birthday party, go to the birthday party. They invite you out, they want to talk to you, talk to them. Just be their friend. That's it. Simple. Just be their friend. Second thing, pray for them. Third thing, church. Church is a really important part of our strategy. It looks like this. Our church is putting on a carols event. Be great if you and your family could come down. Doesn't cost anything. Just goes for an hour or so. And great for, you know, kids, build a community spirit about what Christmas is about. Take some of the focus off the Santa and the presents and the Easter bunny and that kind of thing. Just come on down. That's an event. Bring them to an event. Bring them to church if you can, but that might be a little bit down the track. Bring them to a men's breakfast. These events that we put on are designed to build bridges for you to bring people into the community of the church. Winky Prattney says this, and I remember this as a young guy hearing Winky say this, the most powerful environment the Lord has for evangelism is a gathering of Christians. It's the most powerful thing. When you bring somebody into that environment, there's a completely different dynamic. So church, we want to, in our Sundays, we want to do church in a way that looks like we are serious about worshipping God. We are serious about knowing God. We are not trying to do a whole thing on how to change a baby's nappy, how to, and some churches do that and God bless them, but we want to know the Bible better. We want to know God better. And rarely will we do how to. We will do this is it. And so we will then partner with events beyond our own local church. But I want you to see where that fits in our priorities. It's last. It's kind of the thin edge. The broad thing is that we connect with people. We pray for people. We invite them to church or our own church events. And then beyond that, there are events, Youth Alive or, some of the other combined church events. If I said to you, go out this week and do some personal evangelism, most of you'd go, no way, I ain't doing no personal nothing. I'm not knocking on anyone's door, knocking on anyone's tract. I'm not doing nothing. Now, apart from being really bad grammar, that's quite understandable. So when we say personal evangelism, there are some people who are really good at this. They're really gifted at it. God bless them. I'm not one of them. But I have learned some things about living a questionable life, living the kind of life where people will say to you, so, what did you do on the weekend? And for me, they've asked, I went to church. And if they go, okie dokie, then I know where this is going to go. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about this. You open up a conversation, and if that conversation draws people into it, keep going. If it doesn't draw people into it, there might be a couple of things I could say or do. Like, for example, I might introduce Kim. This is Kim. I married Kim. Marrying Kim was the second best thing I've ever done in my life. Now, what are you all thinking? And what are you going to ask me? What was the best thing you ever did? And I'll ask, do you really want to know? Yeah, you really want to know. Well, thank you for asking. Now, you're asking me to tell you. See, you can't tell me I'm shoving anything down your throat when you've actually asked me to tell you. The best thing I ever did with my life was to give my life to Jesus. It happened when I was a teenager, and I share my story. So personal evangelism. I want to give you four principles of personal evangelism. And hopefully you can remember these. They are called R, C, C, R. Now, what might they stand for? Relate, be a friend. Just relate to them. Create an opportunity. C, create. I just created an opportunity. Marrying Kim was the second best thing I ever did. So I've created an opportunity. I could say something like this. My Sundays are the highlight of my week. Now, what are they going to ask? Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Create an opportunity. There's all different kinds of ways you can create an opportunity. Now, what happens if you've related to them? And relating to someone could... I personally think that takes months of just regular contact. Create an opportunity. And they actually are drawn into that. They actually say, well, what was the best thing you ever did? Well, it was when I gave my life to Jesus. Well, just didn't that make you boring and religious? Now, if I hear a comment like that, I go, I'm in. I've got behind enemy lines. I'm actually in now. Or if I hear something like, well, I couldn't believe in God because of... If I heard someone say why they can't believe in God, I'm thinking, uh-huh, I'm in. I've just got past the security checks and I'm deeper into their space. And so once I've created the opportunity and they're drawn into it, we move on to convict. Convict. You see, unless you see your need for a saviour, the message that Jesus Christ is the saviour is meaningless. So convict. How do you convict? Well, I'm sure God would never send me to hell. Oh, can I shake your hand? Why? I've never met a perfect person. And I want to shake your hand. What do you mean, perfect person? Well, the Bible says if you tell one lie, you're a... What do you think? Well, I suppose a liar. Well, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, I've stolen. Well, what does that make you? Come on, help me out here. Thief. Have you ever had a lustful thought for another person? Jesus calls that adultery. So let's see how we're going. You're a lying, thieving adulterer. I think you need forgiveness. The final R is reveal. And here it is. I think you need forgiveness. And Jesus Christ has died in your place so that he can forgive you. Reveal. Now, if you happen to have a Bible and they have an interest in the Bible, perhaps they have they're haunted by a church background, then there's this thing called Romans Road. Romans 3:10, all have sinned. Romans 3:23, there is none righteous, not one. All have fallen short, the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. That's called the Romans Road. We're just going through the book of Romans. That's the message of salvation. And I hope that we get this, that we can see Christ does call us to go. He calls us to be witnesses. And I actually think, just like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, we too are placed by Christ in strategic moments that we might bear witness for Christ. And I pray that we, like any witness in a courtroom, would just simply answer the questions we're asked and bear witness to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are the one who saves by your Spirit. You are the one who draws all men to Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we as your church would engage the world with the claims of Christ, that we would be a going church and a summoning church. Lord, help each person here to be a witness, to share their faith in Christ, to tell their story. Lord, I pray that over the coming weeks and months we would see more and more people come in because of the witness of your people. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen.
Evangelism comes from building relationships with people, producing opportunities to share our love for God with them. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Engaging the World, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.